For the first time ever in LA, the icons of FC Barcelona and Real Madrid take the pitch at BMO Stadium.
Ronaldinho, la pura magia!
Witness Ronaldinho and the FC Barcelona legends live in Los Angeles. Watch the Legend Series, FC Barcelona versus Real Madrid, live in LA on February 22nd at BMO Stadium. For tickets and exclusives, go to wearehouseofheroes.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word. Pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Humphrey. Sarah, how are you?
Just doing real well. I mean, it's Christmas week. What could be better?
Oh, yeah. If you're listening to this on the day it is released, then Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays to Merry literally everyone.
Christmas, Happy Holidays to everybody.
And if you're listening to this in the future, then we hope you had a great holiday 2025.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's the best time of the year, right?
I think it depends on who you are. I think that for a lot of people, this is a very difficult season. I think for a lot of people, people love it. I think there's a lot of stress in the holiday season and a lot of like social obligations and just a lot of pressure, I think, to make. I feel the pressure, even though I love the holiday season. I do feel almost like a pressure to be happy because of the way the season is. And that can be a lot, I think.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Because then you have jackasses like me being like, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Well, it is. That's the thing. It is. Like, I'm very excited to, I've spent a lot of time with my family. I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm excited to, like, give and receive gifts. Like, I love doing all of that. I think there are certain things I adore about the holidays. I adore certain traditions, like making cookies with my mom. Like, I love those things. But also, sometimes it's just, I think by the end of December, I feel like a lot of people probably feel this way. Like, my social battery is just like so depleted.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because then in the winter you just hunker down and don't see anyone. So
what is the gift that you're most excited to give this year?
Well, I can say this because just double checking my husband is not in the room. There's a couple. Number one, for my dad, I made, so we have, my parents have a camp called the Iris because of the iris flowers that are out front. And I made a logo for it, and I ordered him a hat. He wears caps, like baseball caps, a lot. And I ordered him a custom hat with the logo like embroidered on it. Cool. So I'm very excited about that. And I'm very excited. I got my husband a new security camera for outside, and I think he's gonna really like
Yeah.
Very excited. And it's solar. So I'm like very, very excited about that. But
it's not because you're trying to keep out like vagrants.
We're trying to keep the animals in, keep an eye on them.
It's to spy on your own animals.
Yes, that's all it's for. Yeah.
It's what it's for. Because typically when you hear security camera, you think of like the burglars.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about burglars at all. I mean, I suppose it could work for that reason, but I don't have fears of that.
Because you haven't spent a lot of time playing The Sims, where the burglars just come and
they're gonna
everything.
Do the like, on their tippy toes.
Yeah, exactly.
What about you? Is there anything on like that you're really excited that you picked out that you're like very proud of?
No. I mean honestly Adam hates gifts. Like he hates receiving gifts, he hates like gifts in general, and he doesn't like surprises. So like everything that he's getting he knows about, which is fine. Like he's like a very active individual, so he's had like a lot of stress on his feet. So we got him like a really good pair of walking shoes. Mm-hmm. Like we got him some like self-care stuff. So we're just trying to get him healthy so that he can bike 30 hours a day like he wants. Essentially is what it is. Yeah.
I mean, that's fair. Listen, I love a practical gift. I'm very big on practical gifts. I think they're very thoughtful. I think there's like a thoughtfulness that is underrated about a practical gift of like, I needed this actually. Like, thank you so much. Now, I don't think they're for everybody. Like if you got me like a very nice vacuum, I would be very excited about it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think everyone would be. So you have to know your audience, I think, in that regard. I'm excited about the holidays. I think like, I don't know. It should be nice. I'm depleted because I've gone to two different family parties and it can get exhausting.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Exhausting. Do you guys do the white elephant?
We do white elephants, Yankee swap,
did you get anything good or did you get anything shitty?
We actually did. So my family on my mom's side we do like two different ones. We do like a cheaper one, so like a $15 one and then a $30 one. Mm-hmm.
They can participate too.
Yes. I got a hummingbird feeder, which I was very happy about because mine broke last year. So perfect replacement.
Was the rats jumping on it? Was that the issue?
We don't have rats. What do you mean rats? Like, why would there be rats?
Like squirrels.
I don't know what happened, to be honest. Like, it was glass, which also is probably why, like, when it fell, it just broke immediately. Yeah. I don't know what happened. I walked outside and it was broken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the rats.
Yeah. We got lights for outside that are, like, motion sensor, which I was, like, very happy with because we could always – our yard is not well lit, so we could always use more motion sensor lights. Will got like a deep fat fryer thingy, which like we're not going to use, but maybe we'll like regift it at some point.
Well, that goes into the cycle. It goes back next year.
That's one that's going into the cycle. Yeah. And then what else? Oh, and then we got, like glass, what is it? Food storage container type of.
Oh, actually that is my type of gift. I do like that.
It is mine. And you know what? I brought it to the party and I didn't like anything else that was there. And so I picked my own thing because I was like, we'll use these.
Yeah. Well, that is very much like Adam's like MO for white elephants. It's just pick something that he wants and then get it.
If there's nothing else good, then you bought yourself a present, which works for me. So that's what we ended up with. So
cool.
Stuff.
Yeah. All of our family parties are like this week. So, I haven't like really done. I mean, it's not even that much. Where it's quiet this year.
That's nice. Love a quiet holiday season. Mine are always like the two weekends leading up to Christmas is when it's like the most chaotic, and then Christmas Day, thankfully, is like usually fairly quiet and calm.
Yeah. Which is well, you want to talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah, let's talk about some tough love. Season 5, episode 19. Good God, there is some stuff happening, and I'm very interested to see how it's all going to shake out for the rest of the season. Because, and we'll obviously get into it in more detail, but like with Tara's brain getting all sloshed around, I don't know how you heal something like that, you know? Like, that's where I'm concerned, is like, is it reversible? Because that's going to be really sad if it's not.
I think it has to be. I mean, I don't have the answer on how to fix it, but
yeah.
I don't know if it's by magics or by time or by defeating Glory in some capacity.
That's the thing. Is it like a monster thing where if you defeat the monster, then like the affected individuals are cured?
Maybe, but I gotta be honest with you. I do not see a world where we end this season and Glory is gone. I am starting to feel we have our first long-term villain. Because she's very powerful. And I don't think that the Scoobies are getting better at anything, actually.
I actually think they suck.
Interesting. Like, I think they're increasing in value and worth, actually. So how do you think about that?
I think I disagree just because I feel like this show loves a, like,
we have a pattern,
a big bad per season sort of a thing.
But how do you get better than Glory though?
Yeah, I think that what's going on with Dawn is going to come into play. I think Dawn as the key has some sort of built-in powers, or like, I just feel like she is going to be the key to destroy Glory. I feel like she kind of almost has to be, that she has to be utilized in some way. Because we saw this episode, like, Willow doesn't have enough witchy power on her own to do it. We've seen Buffy struggle to defeat Glory. Obviously, Xander doesn't inherently have any special powers. Anya is an ex-demon, so she doesn't seemingly have, like, demon-y powers. So really the only person that's kind of left besides Giles, who, like, again, when the whole Scooby squad comes together for a common goal, they usually do pretty well. But I just feel like the missing component here is Dawn.
What in the Wizard of Oz bullshit is this? Oh, your power's been with you the whole time.
Yeah.
All you had to do is clap your little shoes and
listen. Tara's the one who's singing "If I Only Had a Brain." Like,
exactly. I mean, yeah, definitely Wizard of Oz upside. Yeah, I want to see if you could do me a favor here, because like I was trying to explain to Adam the Glory situation and the key situation. And I, like, from my understanding, I'm just going to recite what I think is the point.
Okay.
So Dawn is the key to the portal to the underworld, and Glory got banished from the underworld and she wants to get back. And the reason why we don't want her to go back, because seemingly that sounds like something that's good, is because she's not at her 100%. She is, no matter, like, she's super strong, but her powers are stifled by whatever. And if she goes back to, I don't think they call it the underworld, I think that they call it like something else, but if she goes back, then she gets her full god powers. Do you have a different understanding of what the fuck is happening?
That feels mostly true. Like, I think there are a few things I would be like, I don't know if that's, like, I don't know if it's called the underworld.
It's something else, but I can't remember what they called it.
But I know that Dawn is the key, and the key is like a portal which allows her to go back to wherever she came from.
But why don't we want her to go back to wherever she came from?
Because she has to, like, kill Dawn to do it, I think.
But then why didn't the monks want her to have the key? Like, the monks did not want Glory to get the key to the portal.
Because I think she gets her powers she's like too dangerous with her full powers.
So it has to do with the powers.
I think so.
Okay. Okay. So I'm not crazy to be like, we don't have all the information.
No, okay. We definitely don't. I think the things that we know 100% are Glory is a god. Uh-huh. Glory and Ben share a body for some reason.
Yeah, and they call themselves brother and sister.
Seems like they're siblings. Mm-hmm. We know Dawn is the key, and we know the key is like some sort of a portal to allow Glory to go somewhere else, to wherever that place is called.
Yeah. Do you hear what I'm saying? As like at face value, you would think we would want Glory to go away.
Oh, 1000%, because we want her out of Sunnydale. But I think the problem is that I think the monks didn't want her to do that because she becomes way more powerful. And I think Buffy doesn't want that because in order to do that, she's using the key. And I imagine that using the key involves killing Dawn.
Yeah.
So
now, I have some further thoughts, and this is all relevant to the episode, I think.
Okay.
Why did the monks? Okay. We know that the monks wanted to give something. They wanted to give the key in a form of a sister so that Buffy would protect it. Right. I think that Buffy would protect a stick on the ground if she was told that is an important thing for her to protect. Why? Like, why didn't the monks make it into a rock or a log or a stick or like a banana or like a garden gnome? Like, why did they have to? Besides, the real answer is like story mechanics. Like, just why?
I think for a few reasons. I think number one, I don't know how well they even know Buffy. Like, do they know that she is really like strong in her convictions in terms of protecting things? Like, if they don't know that and they just know vaguely like the Slayer needs to protect this thing, having an emotional attachment to the key makes a lot of sense, especially if you don't know anything about Buffy. I also think you're making it harder for Glory to figure out what the key is by making it a person, because Glory spent a long time trying to find something new, right? And that didn't allow her to see that Dawn was the real key, because Dawn existed because of the memory implantation situation. Like,
which Glory does not know about. At the very least, she doesn't know that this is like a part of the equation.
No, by the end of the episode, she definitely knows it's Dawn, but who knows what she knows in terms of the memory aspect of it. So I think there's like a few different reasons you would make the key a human being, and especially one that is like related to Buffy, mostly because if they really don't know Buffy well and they just know her as the Slayer, I think you don't know. You think, okay, the only thing we can be certain of is if it's a family member, they're more likely to want to protect the key than a stick on the ground or what, like a common object. But then again, there is some credence to like, okay, let's make it a random object because
it could be anything.
She'd never think that it's actually important, but then there's not as much of an emotional investment.
It could be my favorite pair of tweezers. I have an emotional attachment to my favorite pair of tweezers.
Why do you keep your tweezers stored on your desk?
Oh, I have so many things.
Commonly need to pluck your eyebrows while you're we got lip gloss, we got tiny scissors.
I have so many. I have two pairs of iPods. Like, I have everything. My final question, and this is just something that I've been trying to think about now that we're on episode 19. We're coming to the end. Besides the fact that Dawn should be protected by Buffy, I feel as though, and once again, I understand we hired Michelle Trachtenberg. We need her on our television screen. I, in a way, feel like it would be better if Dawn got sent away to like some foster care where nobody knew where she was.
To protect her.
Or send her to China, or send her to work as a as a like a Winnie the Pooh at Disney World, like, you know,
sure,
what I mean?
In terms of like logically to hide her,
yeah,
that is correct. However, mm-hmm. I think there's a few flaws in that. Number one being, if suddenly Buffy's sister just like up and leaves town, I feel like that is suspicious for Glory. They would have had to do that earlier in the season, I think, for that to work. Number two, the problem is that, like, you know, Dawn is a living, breathing teen girl. You can't just, I think both the emotional attachment from Buffy to Dawn and vice versa, right? Like, Dawn is not going to just agree to leave town. Like, she, if you forced her to do that, I'm pretty sure she would just run away or come back. Or I just don't think that's a feasible option, both for Buffy and for Dawn. Like, I just don't see them wanting to do that, especially like we have the conversation between Buffy and Giles early on in the episode where he says, you're her only real family now. Like, she needs you to step up and be like a parental figure for her. They're all each other has at this point, whether it's real or not, for them it's real. So I just don't see, even though logically I totally understand your reasoning, I don't see them ever making that decision, especially, let's pretend we're doing it before the end of this episode where we know Glory knows Dawn is the key. It's so like suspicious to like suddenly, if you, Glory knows it's a person and then all of a sudden your sister leaves town. Yeah. It's like super suspicious.
Summer camp. No, I actually do agree with everything that you're saying. I'm just asking some questions of like, you know, how do we get here, essentially?
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is, you know, plot driven and everything. But I do think like the show does a good job of like justifying their decisions with like emotional reasoning as well. You know, like, oh, my mom just died. Well, the first thing on my mind isn't I'm going to send my sister out of town. Like, I just don't, that's not who Buffy is. That's not who we've come to know her as. She is like a protector above all else. And I don't think she would want to. She wants the control, right? Like, she wants to be able to help Dawn. I think she'd be worried if she sent her away. Like, all she'd be thinking about is like, what if Glory figured it out and has got her?
Oh yeah, I know. Viral.
Who's viral?
Would be spiraling.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Where I was going with that. Yeah, I just want to do some housekeeping because like sometimes
that makes sense. These are all like things we should talk through. Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, am I getting it right? Like, am I understanding what I am watching? And I think I'm doing it okay. I just wanted to.
You are.
Yeah,
I think
where do you want to start with this? What's this episode called? I don't even know.
Tough Love.
Oh yeah.
Right. I want to start with the Buffy and Dawn stuff where Buffy has made the decision to take the semester off of college. She is dropping out of her classes because she needs to parent Dawn. This was like very heartbreaking for me. Not because I think like dropping out of college is the worst thing in the world or anything like that. More so because obviously the death of Buffy's mom is going to, you know, kind of propel her into adulthood no matter what. But it made me really sad that she also had to drop out of college because college, you know, we talked at the beginning of last season that like college is like a new fun kind of stepping stone towards adulthood, but you're still a kid. You're still like finding yourself and having fun and like doing all these wild and ridiculous things. And it just like broke my heart a little bit that obviously with her mom dying, she already was going to be taking on more responsibility, but like now she's missing out on like a specific college experience as well, you know?
Yeah, it makes me think of the beginning of season 3 and the end of season 2 of how excited she was to be able to go to college. I think it was like a really big deal for her. I remember it at first seeing so unrealistic, but that was part of why she left the control from the Watchers, because she wanted to live more of a normal life. And I also think I remember Giles like trying to negotiate that for her at some point before she left the Watchers Council. And she was really excited to try to get some normalcy in her life and fun. And we did get to see that a lot in season 4, which I think is one of the reasons why we enjoyed season 4 so much, because no matter how good season 5 is, it's starting to get heavy. And season four, she felt most kid-like or young adult teenager-like as Buffy could ever get. So for her to have to drop all of that, and I mean, she said in this episode, she is now living for Dawn. Like, she still has her responsibilities as a Slayer, but her number one priority is protecting Dawn. And I think, like, this has, I think a lot of people that are single parents could relate to this, where they are now, they give up their own dreams or ambitions or whatever to take care of a loved one. Mm-hmm. Or I think that also people could relate to this as having a sick family member and having to relinquish some of their current goals to be a caretaker. So, and like at the end of the day, like, I mean, that type of stuff could start building resentment and be like, I was watching one of those really awful Christmas movies. And for the entire time it was, you know, who was Cher from Clueless. And the entire time mm-hmm. she was like, I was going to be a big city architect, but I like gave up my dreams to live in this small town. Oh,
of course. Yeah.
So I feel like it like holds resentment as well.
Yeah, certainly. Especially when Buffy finds out that Dawn hasn't been going to school. And this is bad for a number of reasons. Number one, that if Dawn is doing very poorly in school, they'll report it and Dawn will basically be either shipped off to foster care, maybe possibly go to her dad, but like no one's heard from him. So all of this could be really, really bad for both Buffy and Dawn. And Dawn, because she's so young, she doesn't necessarily understand like the consequences that could stem from this. And Buffy kind of has to have a heart to heart about like, no, you need to do well in school, because if you don't, we'll be separated and neither of us wants that. I really loved Buffy going to Giles for help. I thought it was such a lovely conversation of her showing that she is still a kid when she's like, please, come on, please. Like, she needs an authority figure and I think you could do that. And I really appreciated Giles being like, no, you're her family and like, she will listen to you. You just need to like, put your foot down and like really, you know, act like a parent to her. I thought it was just a really cute conversation. And I don't know, I can understand both of them. You know, I can understand Buffy wanting Giles to step in, but realistically, like that it's not, Dawn will listen to him, you know?
But I agree with, like, I don't think that Dawn would really listen to Buffy that much either. Like, I love when Giles kind of said like, you never listened to me.
Yeah,
reminds us of seasons one and two when she was in high school and she was mouthy as heck. Like, she was worse than Dawn. Like, she like didn't listen to anything that Giles said. She didn't want to be told what to do. And it's like funny to see like the role reversal. But I also don't really know if her approach of like how she I understand the stress that Buffy is under, because if she loses Dawn to the system or to whatever, then that compromises everything. But I also, I mean, I've been getting on Buffy's case so much lately in defense of Dawn, and I really think like Dawn's definitely becoming like a top character for me. And it's just like, because I keep wanting to be like level with her. Like, you keep calling her a kid, like you keep reprimanding her, like she doesn't respond well to that. Like, why can't we just tell her right away, if you keep fucking around, they're going to send you away and I can't lose you and you can't lose me. Like, why do we have to yell at her about her homework? And I especially loved the conversation where Dawn is like, what is the fucking point, man? Like, I loved when she was just like, the monks like booted in K through what did she say, K through nine, into my brain in like less than a moment. Like, what happens if they just like upload grade 10? Like, what's the point? And like the whole thing is that, like, what is the point? Like, what's the point of her going to school? What's the point of her acting normal? I guess the answer is, once again, we have to make her as normal as possible so that she blends in, so that Glory doesn't catch on, which once again, like, she does by the end. But like, yeah, if I was Dawn, I would have such a hard time being like, what is the point of all of this? Like, yeah, I would be like so resentful, because it would be like, I don't even know if I'm going to exist in 6 months, because 6 months ago I did not exist. So what is the point of anything? And I feel like if I was being talked to, like Buffy is talking to me, like Dawn, like Buffy's talking to Dawn, I think I would be like, two middle fingers up, like, fuck you. Like, I'm not doing any of this shit. What's the point of me doing geometry homework? It means nothing.
Yeah, I think that's what I love about this, is that Dawn has really great points of why do I need to do all of this? What even is the point? She has way more to worry about than your average like 14-year-old girl does. And Buffy is just trying to hold things together with freaking bubble gum and duct tape. Like, yeah, they're, you know, and she's trying to parent Dawn, all while, of course, Dawn is like, I just lost my mom. I'm not even a human being. I can't talk to anybody about this. And now you're getting on my case about homework, especially because the way in which Buffy is doing it feels like she's trying to imitate, like, when her mom was strict with her. Mm-hmm. It doesn't feel natural coming from Buffy to be so harsh and strict, but I feel like she's doing what she said to Giles. Like, I'm going to put my foot down. I'm going to like really go full like commando on Dawn.
It just is not what she needs, but maybe it's just a lesson in like parenting in general, because it's very much, yeah, how boomers and the silent generation parented. Yeah. And I feel as though like that's how we were parented. Like, if you don't do this, you're grounded. If you don't do your homework, then you do this. And
yeah, Buffy's talking like chore charts and yeah, gold stars.
I mean, like, say what you will about like soft parenting or whatever, I just feel like, and you can't like level with children all the time, but
no, but Dawn is 14 and she understands more and has way more life, mm-hmm, experience than the average girl her age. So I think like having a heart to heart, like the one they do when Buffy is folding the laundry, works way more with Dawn than, yeah, yelling at her about triangles and everything. Like, I just, yeah, that wasn't the right approach for
know
Dawn.
Your kid, but, I think.
Well, that's the thing though. Buffy is still very young. She's not a parent. This is her first time doing something like this. And she's also still grieving her own loss, right? Like, there's a lot going on. So like any mistakes Buffy makes in like the parenting guardian, you know, situation feels like, okay, she's allowed that, you know, we'll give her some grace because she is learning too. Yeah. It's just tougher because she has more responsibility to learn it quicker. Because there could be really dire circumstances if she doesn't, in terms of Dawn getting, yeah, taken away from her. And I do like that she did tell Dawn that. Like, I feel like that's an important thing for Dawn to know, that like, I'm not getting on your case to go to school because I think you need to learn geometry. I'm getting on your case to go to school because if you don't, we won't be together anymore. And that's like, I think that's something that Dawn will respect so much more, you know?
Yeah. And she does. She gets there. Like, to Buffy's credit, like, she gets there eventually. I just wish that, I don't know, sometimes this show can be so dramatic. We'll get there with, like, the Willow and Tara stuff.
Yeah.
I just want to be like, let's learn from our lessons and, like, let's skip a step ahead and just, you know what I mean? But I think, yeah, that you're so right with Buffy. I think that, like, my irritation comes from the fact that I'm looking at this through non-grieving eyes, and like, I need to be like patient with both of them. I just like feel very defensive of Dawn because yeah. I just feel like it's just like what's the point of anything? It's just like if I was her, I would just be like, fuck school, fuck homework, fuck it. I was already like, fuck school, fuck homework when I was a teenager. I didn't do my homework. I always showed up to school because I had nowhere else to go. I was a dork. But if I had somewhere else better to be, then you betcha I wouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
The rivalry that shaped football. The players who defined an era. For the first time ever in LA, the icons of FC Barcelona and Real Madrid take the pitch at BMO Stadium. Watch the Legends series, FC Barcelona Legends versus Real Madrid Leyendas, live in LA on February 22nd at BMO Stadium. For tickets and exclusives, go to wearehouseofheroes.com.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Let's talk about the Scoobies a little bit. I need to talk about Anya first because it's a sad day. It's a sad day when Anya becomes patriotic and pro-capitalism.
You know, I feel as though let's flash back to October of 2024 before we lost all of our souls again.
Again, yeah, being the keyword.
We were about to take the American flag back. And I feel
we're about to.
I feel like maybe being patriotic is not so bad.
No, it's less the patriotism and more the pro-capitalism. And again, this was made in a very different time. I think now many people can see just the flaws in a pro-capitalist mindset. But yeah, it was very funny. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love Anya getting on like, oh, look at them perusing the shelves, undressing the merchandise with their eyes.
Some of it's funny. I'm going to say something and I don't want you to flip out. But
oh, great.
Is the bit starting to get old?
Is the Anya bit?
Yes.
So like the pro money Anya bit getting old?
Yes. I think I'm all for Anya learning how to be a human again. Yeah. But is this particular bit starting to get old? Have we really, really hammered the point over and over again?
I think I'm still okay. And the reason is because it's not one note in that we also got after Joyce's death.
Yes.
We got that really like really lovely speech from Anya. We got the like her and Xander having sex and her saying like, I understand now it's about making life and all of that stuff. Like we've gotten deeper content with Anya. So it doesn't bother me that much. However, I would say if by like mid next season, we are not at a point where the only bits that Anya is getting is like quippy bits, I probably will tire of it.
I think we are on the path. And I hate to say that because I do like Anya. I do like the character. I do like some of the bits, but I think I am growing tired of this bit in particular. I think that she needs to like take up a new bit. Like girly gets like a fascination with like marbles or something. You know what I mean?
Marbles?
I'm just throwing shit at the wall.
I mean, I loved marbles as a kid. So
like, I think like she needs like a new thing. a new thing. Maybe she's really into collections for a little bit. Like,
I would love if we explored more of the side of like, she making money with like stocks and bonds and stuff. Well, I think that was
impressive. That was impressive. But I mean, this is not the Wolf of Wall Street. The Wolf of Sunnydale. Thank goodness, right?
Yeah, I can see what you're saying though. Like, I definitely can, I can feel that a little bit. Because it is like, okay, Anya says something, Xander and Willow try to like give her the nuance of the situation and
rinse and repeat. And I still can't get out of my head that at one point in time she was immortal. So like, I know it was a long time ago, but it's just like, how to be human? Like, how do people grow? It's like, I don't know, girly pop, like you.
Anya should write a book.
She should have written a diary so that she could reflect back on all these things and learning it for the first time. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I once again, I don't want to like poo poo on Anya too much because I do like Anya, but I'm just like, I think that we just like need a little bit more from her. And like, I don't know, the money thing is like, yes, we know you like money. It's very funny. I think the peak of the joke was when we saw Buffy Bot's like analysis of Anya, and it's just like, likes money.
I think that's
the best we can get, and I don't think we can get any better than that with this joke in particular.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. It's fair. Let's talk a little bit about the Willow and Tara stuff.
Oh boy. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
This is a crock of shit. And I'll tell you what.
Okay.
As much as Dawn is going up in the rankings, Willow is like rock bottom. This fucking idiot whore does not listen to Tara at all. And it is annoying as fuck. And part of it is that Tara is thoughtful, or tries to be thoughtful with her words. I think like she has problems just like yapping and saying that she wants to be thoughtful. But then Willow goes in and goes, "So this is what you mean?" And she's like, "Well, no, and she stutters, which is not her fault. People have that. And then she gets trampled over, and I'm sick of this. So we're having a good old day, a good fine day. Just the two of them hanging out in their dorm room, their little nest of love, where they normally are. And I don't know what happens. I forget how this whole thing started, because the fight makes me so mad.
I have a lot of it written down. So basically, Willow is upset because Buffy is being so harsh with Dawn, and she thinks it's just going to push Dawn away. Like, she disagrees with the method in which Buffy is going. And Tara is like, when Tara is sympathizing, Willow misunderstands. Tara is sympathizing with Buffy because Tara also lost her own mother. She knows what it's like
over siblings.
Yeah, and so then she's really having a tough time with it. And Willow basically says like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I was snippy. Like, I feel like my opinion doesn't matter because I haven't lost my mom, so I don't know." And Tara, again, I agree with you that I think Tara wants to know why Willow is upset, because she's worried about saying the wrong thing. And if she says the wrong thing and she isn't corrected, like, it's possible she'll say the wrong thing again. And so she asks, like, "Was I being a know-it-all?" And then they basically pivot from this conversation into, is Tara a know-it-all about, like, the witchy stuff? Okay, so like, it kind of moves. Yeah.
Let's pause down here. Yeah. Because how about we live in a world where Willow doesn't make every single fucking thing about her? How about that? Yeah, Willow, you don't know shit about losing a parent because you haven't experienced that. So why don't you listen to your girlfriend, to your partner, who actually has experience, life experience? It's okay, Willow, that Tara has more experience and life experience. Guess what? She doesn't want to have that life experience. It's a shitty life experience to have, but at least she has an opinion that actually matters. You're right, Willow. Your opinion does not matter in this situation, and you don't have to make it about you, because you have to make sure that that Tara knows all about your feelings at all fucking time, but you don't let her talk ever. ever.
Okay.
But what do you have to say about this?
Yeah. So Willow is basically saying like, oh, of course I'd be blowing off classes if I was Dawn. And Tara says like, oh, it's understandable that she's being crabby. I don't know. I guess I'm definitely with Tara in a lot of her thoughts and opinions. And like, I understand where Willow is coming from in that, like, she's allowed to have an opinion. But Tara is always going to have a more informed opinion about this particular topic because she has lost a parent and Willow hasn't. And so, like, I do think if we're taking in advice, if we're taking in like thoughts and opinions, Tara's is just should be more relied upon because of what she's gone through. I also feel like it's fair that Willow feels this way, that she feels like I feel less valuable because I haven't gone through it. But also, I don't think that's something that necessarily, you know, she's saying the quiet part out loud. Like, I just don't think you need to like reiterate that.
Yeah.
I will say, like, I will give this couple credit that they are having this conversation. I feel like they're being very open and communicative with one another at this point, in the conversation in a way that like some couples wouldn't. So I thought that was admirable, but yeah, you know, Willow definitely tends to make things about herself. And she's been bad this season, like actively horrible this season.
If I needed advice on how to be a self-absorbed, really shitty, whiny bitch ass witch, I would go to Willow in a second. Happily, that is something that she can give an informed opinion on because she sucks ass as a witch and she's whiny as fuck and she's a bitch ass is what I have to say about that.
Yeah.
Okay. The next part makes me even more angry.
Yeah. So the next thing that happens is Tara basically said, because, you know, Willow says, you've been doing everything longer than me. I'm the junior partner. You're like, you've been practicing witchcraft for way longer. And Tara says, well, you're way beyond me. It frightens me how powerful you're getting. And Willow really latches onto the word frightens. And so she is like, what do you mean? Like, I frighten you? That's not good. And Tara tries to like correct herself and say, no, impressive. But Willow, oh, I've taken Psych 101. That was a Freudian slip. Don't you trust me? And Tara's like, please, that's not what I meant. Like, please, let's just go to the fair. I want to just move on from this conversation. And this is where I feel like Willow getting so upset at the word frighten really then puts Tara, feels like Tara feels very cornered and feels like she can't say anything right. And the conversation is kind of getting away from her.
Yeah.
And so then when she says, I worry you're changing so much so fast. I don't know where you're heading. I feel like she is just like, she's not allowed to have a moment to think before she speaks.
Yes. Yes.
And so then it's like words come out and Willow is then like taking every sentence she says and just picking it apart.
Everything. Oh, yeah. Yes. You're so right. And I mean, I'm curious how you interpreted this. How I interpreted it is that Tara is afraid that Willow is going to surpass her in every level of life, in witchcraft, in life experience, in power, and she's going to get left behind.
Interesting. I interpreted it. If we go back to season four, the very beginning of season four, when Oz says to Willow, when Willow wants to like go up another level or whatever in witchcraft, like she wants to try something that would be very dangerous, Oz is like concerned for her that she is going to take that next level. I viewed it more like that, where Tara is like, you are getting so powerful so quickly that I'm afraid that you will jump to a higher level of witchcraft than you're necessarily ready for. Not that you can't do it, but that like you're not emotionally, psychologically ready for it. And it will like overwhelm you. Or, you know, there's tons of different like fantasy sci-fi sort of things where just because you can use that much power doesn't mean you should, because of burnout or like, you're still very young. You're not like mature enough. You're not ready yet. And I view Tara as saying like, I'm concerned that you're not ready for the amount of power that you can wheeled.
I can see that too. I almost feel like that's the conversation that Willow thought they were having. And how I perceive Tara is different. Like, I kind of feel like she was having my conversation of like, I'm afraid that like you're just gonna be surpass me or like or be better than me or whatever. And I think like Will, I do agree with you that that is how Willow was interpreting the conversation.
Well, then it gets really strange because like, and this is where I have like the exact dialogue written down, because it, I found it like we're, it felt like we started an argument at A, and then because we were already arguing, we've lumped in B, C, D, all these other topics. Oh, yeah.
Well, this is the whole thing about holding on to either resentment or stuff that you're holding in, because this is where the once again, back to the marbles, but the marbles get out of the bag, because this is like especially a bunch of bullshit, because basically Willow then goes, oh, out of nowhere, you're afraid that I'm going to get back with men and this whole relationship is a college thing. And I feel like Tara is like, where the fuck are you getting this? Like, I wasn't even about to say that. I'm talking about either your magic or your power. Like, I'm not saying anything about dick, like, at all.
Yeah, so how we got there is Willow says, what is it about me you don't trust? Tara says, I worry sometimes you're changing so much, so fast, I don't know where you're heading. Again, I feel like this could still be magic related. Then Willow says, where I'm heading? Tara's, I'm saying everything wrong. Willow says, no, I think you're being very clear. This isn't about witchcraft. It's about the other changes in my life. And again, we're in ambiguity land. Like, this is so vague that like, who knows exactly what's even being talked about by either one of these people.
Exactly. Yeah.
Tara says, I trust you. I just don't know where I'm going to fit in your life when ...
Now, well, this is where I was, sorry, I jumped ahead. This is where I started interpreting it as like, I don't know where I'm going to fit into your life. You're going to surpass me. You're going to be better than me.
I think she's talking about witchcraft. Like, I don't think witchcraft. She's talking about sexuality at all.
No, or like just, as, or maybe just in general, like
or
you
with
are,
the Scoobies or with the Slayer stuff.
Yeah, you're going to be on a different level than me, and I'm going to get left behind. Sorry. I like probably jumped into that conversation a little bit too early, but this is where I'm interpreting it as like, you are steps ahead of me. I don't know how I'm going to fit into your life. You're going to leave me behind.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Willow jumps down Tara's throat when Tara is saying, I don't know where I'm going to fit into your life when ... And Willow just says, what, when I change back? Like, this is just an experimentation. And then I'm going to go on back to Boy Town. And Willow says, do you think that? And then Tara says, should I? Like, and well, okay, here's the thing. While I don't think Tara asking should I is the response Willow was looking for or the response Tara should have said, I do think at this point Willow is like barely letting Tara out with a full sentence before Willow jumps in with her own assumptions on what Tara is trying to say. And if you're Tara, who is a little more mild, a little more meek, a little less like confrontational, she's going to feel just like shoved in a corner, like she can't say anything right. So now Willow's saying this and Tara maybe hadn't even thought that. And so now she's like, wait, are you thinking that? I'm confused.
Yeah, I feel really bad for her because I think that like Willow is just such the aggressor in this conversation. And I think that Tara just like, I think like she's the type of person that needs to take like breaths and beats and like really think out what she wants to say. And like, it's unfair to have Willow, who's so not quippy, but like, you know, snappy, like in the conversation.
She has instinctual communication style. Oh. Like she just says it. And as someone who normally in my day to day speaks more like a Willow, where I'm not actively thinking about every single thing I say before I say it. It just flows. Yeah. And being with someone who is more like a Tara, who like needs a beat to think about what they want to say before they say it. Like, I felt so bad for Tara because I've done this. Like, I've been the Willow. I've definitely been like jumping the gun and getting impatient and getting frustrated because the other person wasn't as like quick in my mind, just runs at a mile a minute. Like, it's so fast. I felt bad for Tara because I could tell what was happening. And Tara, it felt like Tara was just like, I didn't mean for any of that to even happen, but I didn't even have a single second to defend what I was trying to say because Willow was jumping to literally every conclusion.
Yeah, it felt like a very unfair conversation. I felt very bad for Tara throughout it. And I just feel like she got absolutely walloped in this conversation.
She really did. Well, this whole episode, truly, because like,
truly, yeah.
Then Willow leaves, like she's like, have fun at the fair. And Willow goes to wallow at the magic shop.
I love how Tara actually did go to the fair. She's like, you know what? This was a horrible day, but at least the Chinese dragon parade will make me feel better.
At least I can sit on a bench by myself.
The multicultural parade is going to feel so good when I go.
I felt so bad for her. And so she is just like sitting on a bench. Willow is off at the magic shop wallowing. And we find out that because Glory hasn't basically instructed the Glib Globs to find out who is new in Buffy's life. I love the scene of Glory taking a bubble bath and all of the Glib Globs having to wear blindfolds and give her mimosas and chocolates.
You know, that is very respectable of the Glib Globs. Like, of course they were forced to do so, but nobody's taking a sneaky peek at Glory.
No, not allowed. And I also loved that it seems like she's fully kind of taken like 75%, 80% ownership over the body because Dr. Ben gets fired because he's basically like not showing up to work.
Yeah, I still don't understand. This is such a raw deal for Ben. But also, fuck Ben, but also...
Well, yeah, it's interesting because the doctor, when he's like trying to fight for his job, I wonder if the doctor said literally exactly what's happening, which is a wicked demonic creature living inside you that takes control of your body and forces you to do its bidding. That's not exactly correct, but maybe it's more correct than not. Like,
okay,
we've never considered that Ben is just a human who Glory has taken over.
No, but they said that her job, that's her brother.
And he's supposed to clean up the messes.
Exactly.
And he called the aliens to like clean up her mess, which would be a weird thing for like a normal mortal to do.
I don't think that he's just a human, but maybe part of the banishment was that like Glory lost her body and she had to wind up possessing Ben in order to gain a body.
Yeah.
And what better way to gain a body back than to go to your annoying little brother and who is a shitty doctor and has no powers or talent in life and take over his body? I guess that's something to do.
Yeah. So it's interesting, but he gets fired. Glory is like seemingly in control for the majority of the time. And based on the Glib Globs research, she thinks now that it is Tara. So the scene of her just sitting on the bench and grabbing Tara's hand was like, oh my God.
With the blood. And she's like, you like this, don't you? Isn't this the thing that you like?
Her hand.
Yeah.
And like breaks it. And then seemingly figures out that Tara isn't the key by licking her blood.
Yeah. Just a little taste. Yeah.
Wow. Just a little tasty taste. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and then she's like, you lied to me. Well, Tara, once again, wasn't able to say one thing in this whole conversation. So she didn't lie. And then she does like a little mind melt. And then simultaneously, Giles finds the ugliest Glib Glob there ever did was. He is, all of them are little Glib Glob gremlins, but this Glib Glob is the grossest Glib Glob that ever Glib Globbed. He is horrible. At least like Jinx is not like He's terrible looking, but not like this motherfucker.
The thing is, like, not only is he horrible, but he gives up so easily. Yeah. He's like, no, don't tie me up. I'll tell you exactly what you need to know.
They were just threatening ropes, for goodness sake.
That's it. Not even torture. Just rope.
Nope. Just rope. Maybe he has a phobia of rope.
Glib globs are susceptible to rope.
Is there kryptonite of rope? I wonder if that is a something.
Everything is a phobia. I'm sure it is.
Here we go. A fear of ropes is often called maranthophobia. Fear of being bound up and tied up.
There you go. Or, that's what that glib glob had.
Or actually more specifically, ramplophobia / linophobia, fear of ropes / strings. He has both.
Yeah. So he immediately is like, oh, she's going after the witch. And so Willow's like, ah, it's Tara.
She bolts out of the room.
She fucking runs, but she's not quick enough because after Glory figures out that Tara isn't the key, she's like, oh, well, I can at least get my fingers into your brain. And I want to repeat exactly what Glory says here because it makes me think this is exactly what happens when she does this because we've seen the repercussions of Glory doing this. We've seen like the people in the psych ward, but she says, imagine what you'd feel with my fingers wiggling in your brain. It doesn't kill you. What it does is make you feel like you're in a noisy little dark room, naked and ashamed. And there are things in the dark that need to hurt you because you're bad. Little pinching things that go in your ears and crawl on the insides of your skull. And you know that if the noise and crawling would stop, that you could remember how to get out. But you never, ever will.
Yeah. I mean, that would make you feel like you're going crazy, which is outwardly what we see everybody go through is some sort of I don't totally understand because another part of this is like talking a bunch of nonsense, which like I have a hard time following. But
I don't know if any of what Tara says is important. Like she says a lot of like, it's dirty. It's all dirty. It's
extremely important. I don't know. It's probably it's dirty. It's all over me.
Yeah. It's poisoned.
Do they transport in their heads to wherever the fuck Glory's from?
Could be.
Maybe what they're seeing. Maybe it's kind of like especially an upside down situation where they're like, everything that they see is not really what they see.
Well, especially because that's a really good point of the idea of them getting transported to where she's from, because every person that has been in that state has been able to tell that Dawn is the key. They've mentioned that she's like glowing green, like just like what Glory had said the key would look like. So maybe like there is something to that of like after she does the, you know, jiggling around of their brains, they end up where she's from, like mentally,
which we know is like something like the underworld, something like hell, that's interesting.
Yeah. Okay,
so after Glory does her little magics on her, she disappears, and then Willow comforts Tara, who is like clearly in another dimension, and she winds up going to the hospital, and basically like they wrap up her hand and they're also like, we need to keep her for like a psyche eval because this bitch is making no sense. And
and she also says something about her mom, which I thought was interesting. She says, I told the cat and now I beg my mother sitting all alone. I just thought that was interesting because we know Tara's mom is dead.
The cat and now I see my mother sitting all alone.
Yeah, I mean, again, some of it's just like nonsense, but like there could be something here. But yeah, she has to go in the psych ward for the night. Buffy, all the Scoobies are there and Buffy arrives late because she dropped Dawn off with Spike. And Buffy is like, I'm here for you, like whatever you need. But Willow is basically inconsolable because she is like, Glory will pay for this. Basically, she's tired of sitting around and like waiting for Glory to hurt every single person they care about. And she wants to take action.
Fair.
Which is, again, very fair. But to Buffy's point, when we have a chance, like we can't succeed, you wouldn't last 5 minutes with her. She's a god. Like, and I understand where Willow's coming from, where she's like, oh, when it's someone you love, like that's when we're going to do it. Like me loving Tara isn't good enough. I can't really defend a lot of Willow's actions this episode. I will say, like, to her credit, losing Tara off like the battlefield, if you will, is a massive loss. Like, she's a very powerful witch. Like, if Glory keeps coming after all of the Scoobies, we know they're stronger as a team. So that's like only going to be worse for the ultimate battle, you know?
True. And it must feel frustrating for, I guess, everybody that like we're seemingly just waiting around to get like who's going to get attacked next.
Right.
But also I see the other point of like, we need to know what we're working with here, but they've definitely been playing defense the entire season rather than offense, which is a little bit troubling. But also, I don't know. I think it's like such a stupid move for Buffy to assume that whatever she was saying to Willow persuaded her to not go after, because right after that conversation, Willow goes to the most accessible banned book section that is known to man. This is my real problem. Why is
lock this shit up, Giles?
Exactly. It's so accessible. Anybody could do it. So she digs it, and then she gets like, what the book is like, Black Magics. And she gets her Black Magics book, and she shows up at Glory's. Crazy effects. This bitch, she is halfway in the air. She is floating. Her eyes are black. She looks like, I don't know, like evil Dark Willow. I don't know what's it was wild. And she does crazy lightning magic. She calls lightning. And she calls lightning.
There's like a snake. There, she like puts up like a wall of force. Like, there's a lot happening, but she's still no match for Glory, who's basically like laughing as she like wipes away all of the effects that Willow is doing. Willow full on hawks Lugi
this
in Glory's
is
face.
Actually, what I want to talk about.
What
was up with this spit? Looked ejaculation like.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And it's like viscosity. Why? And also in like it's, but it was a little clearer, but even still, it was like,
why?
It was weird.
What is up with Willow's saliva is what I want to know.
Yeah, it was the ability to spit out that much spit without having to do the like thing.
It was
first.
Thick.
It was so thick. There was spit. It was a big ass glob on Glory's face. I would have killed that bitch right there, truly.
Like AY jelly, honestly.
Yes. It was so like, but because it was like weird in its viscosity and its thickness, but then it also was very clear.
Clumpy. I was very disturbed by this.
It was gross. It was a lot of spit.
And then Buffy comes in and she's like, kick, kick, punch, punch. Like, fuck
saves
you.
Saves the day. She, like, they leave. They run. Like, they obviously don't defeat Glory.
Yeah, everybody makes it out alive, like, normal.
Yeah.
And then we have, but also, sorry, Buffy wouldn't even gotten there if we didn't hire Sunnydale's number one babysitter from the Babysitters Club.
We call him Steve Harrington, number one babysitter.
Number one babysitter.
Yeah, he is watching Dawn. And I love this whole conversation. We talked, I think it was last podcast, about, or maybe it was the one before, about Spike and Dawn's relationship and them both feeling like outsiders. I really love the relationship that they have and the fact that, you know, Dawn, imagine the guilt Dawn must feel that, like, Tara is now possibly forever fucked up because in her mind because of her, and then Spike looks like he was on the verge of fucking death, like he got his fucking ass handed to him, and Dawn just says like, I'm scared of myself, like I'm the key, anything that happens to Tara is because of me, your bruises, your limp, that's all me too, I'm a lightning rod for pain and hurt, everyone around me suffers and dies, including her mother. I must be something so horrible to cause so much pain and evil. And I love that she's saying this to Spike, because Spike is a fucking vampire. He knows evil. And he's like, you're not evil. Like, you know, you may be like, you know, rot, or I don't know what he calls her, but like, you're not evil. I know evil and you're not it.
Yeah.
I loved this conversation because it's so freaking real. Like, of course Dawn feels guilty, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I do like their dynamic a lot.
It's so good. But yeah, Spike is the one who says to Buffy, like, You're saying that a pissed off witch listened to you explain about her, you know, fucked up girlfriend and was like, sure, okay. Yeah. And he does the whole like, you know, I would go after Glory if it was the person I loved.
The person I love, I would do anything for. Wouldn't you? She's like, you're right.
Eyebrow.
I'm ignoring you. You're right. Jessica, stop. Just stop it. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, so this was so stupid. So yeah, Buffy saves the day. And then all we have left of this episode is this very cursed sleepover where
so we
have sandwiches. Lunchbox. Okay, we have to discuss this
because we seriously have to discuss the food orders.
Okay. So Willow ordered a chicken salad sandwich. Now, I do like a chicken salad sandwich. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
On a croissant, especially very good.
100%. Yes.
This is all white bread, by the way. White bread. White Wonder Bread. Nobody in 2025 is buying white Wonder Bread anymore. No.
Only 10-year-olds, maybe.
Yeah. Then, so that's her sandwich. Then Buffy gets eggplant, which, once again, I love an eggplant hero. I really do like eggplant, eggplant parm, all very good. White eggplant on a white bread sandwich seems sus.
Where did she order this from? Like, this is so weird to me. Like,
I don't know.
How many places are you going that are going to offer an eggplant sandwich? Like, never in my life.
Once again, a sub. I've ordered eggplant parm sandwiches like a lot.
Eggplant parm, yeah, but that wasn't what I understood her to be getting.
I don't know what it was. Now, it gets worse because
it gets so much worse.
Dawn has ordered a salami.
Yes.
Salami and peanut butter sandwich.
Yep. That's a thing.
What the actual fuck?
What is this? Why is this a thing? Like, here's the thing. I love salami. Top tier sandwich meat, okay? Salami, little bit of provolone, little bit of mustard. Slap that bitch together, call it a day. Now, peanut butter with some jelly is great. Even the occasional fluffer nutter. I would argue it's more of a dessert than like anything, but there you go. On some toast, fantabulous. What the fuck are you doing putting salami with peanut butter?
Yeah.
What are we doing here, Dawn?
That was crazy. And then
that's the most alien thing about her.
And then they were like, we don't know what Tara would want, so like, let's give her a tuna fish, which is like, I mean, okay.
It's like, not my choice. If I am like, I don't know what this person likes to eat, my choice is probably like a turkey sandwich.
A turkey. Let's keep it easy.
If you're like not even sure she eats meat, like a vegetarian option is always there. Like
caprese.
But like the fuck? And I love tuna. Again, I love tuna.
It's very specific.
Tuna is very polarizing. Like it has a very strong smell. Like especially if you're, depending on the places you go to get it, it could be like heavy on the mayo. I'm just saying, like, what are we actually doing here?
So then, but we're not done because we also have 4 snack packs of green grapes, which is fine. Like, I like green grapes. It's okay. And then
are you picking a green grape over a purple grape? Or are you picking a purple grape?
They're not purple. They're red.
I mean, they're kind of purple. I don't care. Whatever. It's all the same.
I typically go for red grapes unless I'm like in a mood for a green grape. Green grapes are more sour. So
I'll pick a green grape over a red one anyway. Yeah.
And then they're like, you know what? Maybe Tara doesn't want her tuna fish. So let's like hand feed her applesauce.
Why is this necessary? Like the way they did it too. It's like, here comes the choo-choo train. And she does the thing where she like moves her mouth.
It was a big spoon and a big bite, that first bite of applesauce. And then Dawn is like, can I feed her next? As if she's a little infant.
It made me feel worse for Tara.
Can you imagine? Like, maybe Tara in her head is like fully there, but like can't articulate. Like, maybe she's trapped in her own mind. And Tara's like, what the fuck is this? They gave me fucking tuna. Do these bitches hate me?
With applesauce. Like, I'm so sorry, but you cannot pair applesauce and tuna fish together. Like, what are we actually doing?
Yeah, this whole sleepover dinner was so offensive.
Cursed. The whole affair.
This is why.
Why can't we get like pizza? Like, what is wrong with pizza? You know what I mean? This is why pizza is a perfect sleepover.
I'll tell you why. This is California. This is not the East Coast. We're not going to get pizza in California. Number two, we're healthy queens. What we could get is some acai bowls. That would help the situation.
Acai bowl. This is 2025. Like, this is like, they don't exist. This is what acai is.
This would fix the issue of like, oh, like Tara probably can't chew very well.
Because what about like a burger and fry? Like,
they're healthy.
Are they?
California.
Dawn is clogging her arteries with salami and peanut butter.
She's a kid. It doesn't matter. I was like, Willow, you're looking very like skinty today. This is the episode. Like she looks, everybody looks like they're eating like just like three pieces of lettuce. This is the 90s in California. Like we're not eating burgers and fries.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're even eating white bread, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And they had this whole conversation where like Willow says, they say I like might have to like restrain her at night. Like I'm going to take care of her. They gave me things to like keep her calm.
Tara have been released? No,
probably not into Willow's hands. Like the thing is like, it's strange to me that they're like, oh, who are you again? Sure. Here you go. Here's this person who seems a little out of it.
My everything. When was the last time you called Will your everything?
Never.
Really?
Because that's gross. Like, it's not something I would say.
Has he ever called you his everything?
Possibly.
Text him right now. You're my everything.
I'm not going to. He's going to know something's up.
You're sick.
He's gonna know. Why? Well, do you do this all the time? Do you say this all the time?
I have said it before. Yeah. But then Adam was like, but then like, what about Belle? Like, does she mean nothing to you? I was like, no, like I love Belle. Like, and then he was like, so I'm not your everything, because he has to be very like.
Oh, so it's like you can only have one everything.
No, you can't have. No, that's the point. Like one thing can't be your everything, because seemingly you love more than one thing.
I mean, that's true. Yeah, I agree with Adam there. Yeah.
So that was his argument of the day.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah. So, So this was. I mean, like it was like
she's my girl. Sorry, I can't. I can't with that girl. One either. No. She's my girl. Like,
yeah. Are you guys sisters? No, we're lesbian lovers, actually. Actually, that can't be. This is a 90s show.
They have to say lesbian life partner. They're not allowed to say anything else. It has to be lesbian life partner. Can't just be partner. Can't be girlfriend. Lesbian life partner. That's it.
Okay. Well, sorry. I misspoke.
Willow vows to take care of Tara. And this is when Glory fucking busts a big ass hole in the wall.
Oh, I forgot about that part for a second. It really was a cursed sleepover. Yeah. And then she's like, I told you I wasn't done with you. And then Miss Blabbermouth, Miss Crazy Pants over there had to be like, the light, it's green. Yeah. I see the light. And then everybody looks at Dawn. And then,
Then Glory is like,
I don't blame Tara for it, because she's out of her fucking mind and she was just given tuna fish. Honestly, she's probably like, fuck you all. I am done with this shit. I gave my mind, body, and spirit for you people.
I wanted a meatball sub.
You gave me tuna fish, you fuckers. You couldn't even give me the chicken salad, you bitches. Yeah. So she's like,
yeah, give me fucking turkey.
Yeah, the light, it's green. And then everybody looks at Dawn, and then we like,
and Gloria's like, haha, I know. And yeah, that's the end of our episode. So we're like in a real pickle for next time.
I mean, it's not gonna be good. Obviously, everyone's gonna get out safe in this situation somehow, but
yeah,
not good. So we'll see. We are so close to the end. Is there 22 episodes?
27. Good god, no, 22 episodes, so we're getting numbers. We're getting there. That was Buffy. I can't wait to watch the next episode because I don't even know. What do we do from here? Like, there, Glory's right there and freaking Dawn's right there and she's the key and it's blah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Tara's mind's all fucked. Okay, let's do some Cordy's Corner. Because I'm so excited to tell you what happened this episode. Well,
I watched it, but I still don't understand what happened.
Great. Perfect.
The main thing I got from this episode was Cordelia got a commercial thing and then got sexually harassed by her director boss. And then it just so happens like Angel is magically there to try to save the day because he just sniffs out women in distress. And then Cordelia is like, don't defend me. Now I won't get paid and I won't be in the commercial.
Incredible.
And then she's complaining about her migraines and she's like,
she's still having issues. Like, she says she got food poisoning, but I have a feeling that was not food poisoning, that she is like sick from something else. It's and like not that she's pregnant because that's usually why women throw up on television.
We already did that with.
Yeah. We're not doing that again.
Yeah. We already did it. So she's the struggle town. And then not only is she struggling in every which way, we also have Angel being like, Cordelia, I don't think you're good enough to be an actress. I think that you need to find something else to do.
Yeah. Okay. Are you getting the vibe that Angel is into Cordelia? Like, he's very protective over her this episode.
He's just obsessed with her. And I don't even know if it's in a sexual sense. He's just like, it's one of those things where, like, you know your friend is mad at you, so you're up their fucking ass so that they can forgive you slash
go away. Why are you on the set of the freaking commercial? Also, Cordelia's hair looked so fucking tragic this entire episode.
My favorite line was like when the guy was like, when are you going to go into makeup? Yes. And she's like, I've already been to makeup. And he's like, nah, I don't think so.
Fix that face.
And I was just like, actually, I agree with you.
Fix her hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really bad. So that's the whole thing that happens. Like, Cordelia is supposed to have this commercial, whatever. She's really struggling with doing acting anyway because of the migraines that she has. She throws up at a restaurant. Then something happens with this host guy. So, like, his cousin comes through a fucking portal. He's like sniffing out this monster. They have to help him. He gets injured. They're like, well, if he reads this library book that this other lady read, he'll go back through the portal. But by the end of the episode, Cordelia ends up in, like, she goes through the portal, probably because she read the book earlier in the episode, and she ends up through the portal. And apparently this world has two sons. So
I didn't understand where she wound up. I did know that she got transported elsewhere.
I assume it's where the host is from, where they sent the other guy.
Yeah, that's smart.
But I don't know if that's the case. That was my assumption.
That's because you're watching closely. I was trying to watch, but I was,
I don't know. So that all happens, and we end the episode with, like, Cordy in a whole other world. And then my other, like, footnote about this episode, besides Cordy's hair being, like, just truly the most tragic, besides Gunn's friend dying or whatever, that happened.
Yeah, there was a lot of that, which I'm like,
it happened. But Wesley has a difficult relationship with his parents, and they seem to be, like, unimpressed with everything he has going on.
Yeah, Wesley calls his dad, a little B-day call. He goes, hey, Dad, it's your birthday. Let's party like it's your birthday.
We're going to sip Bacardi like it's your birthday.
In the club. And also, I want you to know that I got this, like, really good promotion. I'm, like, number one boss now. And we don't really hear what Wesley's dad says, but he's probably like, you're a fucking failure. You're ugly. You're a wussy ass bitch. And I hope that you are not my son in our next life.
Yeah. Why aren't you in charge, bitch?
He's in charge.
He tries to say I'm in charge, but is he really in charge though?
No, it feels like Angel's
still in charge.
I agree with that statement. So he hangs up the phone. He's like a sad boy because he's like, my dad's mean to me. Well, guess what, Wesley? Sometimes you have to deal with things. It's okay. I hope you feel better. So I felt like this was like, everybody gets a backstory today. You get backstory. Even the host got backstory. We found out his name. Did we know his name was like Lauren or whatever?
Lauren? The host?
Yeah.
Didn't he say I feel like we've been told that before, but mm-hmm. also I've always just called him the host. So
we choose not to listen.
I definitely choose not to listen.
Yeah. What do you think the repercussions that Cordelia is in some alternate universe with two sons?
I feel like, I don't know, man. I feel like we still have to figure out why she's getting sick. And like, especially because her vision this time wasn't like of a future thing. It was like of a past thing. Like mm-hmm. it was like a little fucky. Like it wasn't the way it usually is. I don't know. I feel like we're going to get like a very Cordelia heavy episode next. And like the guys are probably going to try to go through the portal to save her because that's Angel's MO. Oh my God. A woman in distress. That turns me the fuck on.
It'd be cool if Cordelia was able to save herself, but we both know.
I will say that's not possible. We did hear from Marspars that like we must be heading into like a mini arc with like Cordelia in this world mm-hmm. or something, because apparently the vibes are different these next few episodes.
Well, so, maybe it's just a bunch of silly bits.
I mean, I'm here for the silly bits.
We're just doing silly bits now.
Just all silly bits. So, but yeah, that was Cordy's Corner. That was what happened this week on Angel. And we'll see what the fuck happens next week with Cordelia in the world with two sons. Would you like to hear the titles for next week?
Yeah.
So we have Buffy season 5, episode 20, Spiral.
Wait, wasn't I talking earlier about spiraling?
Spiral? Usually we do, but I don't know
who was. Spiral. Oh, yeah. Okay. Spiral.
Oh, yeah. Spiral. Buffy spiraling. Like, and then Angel season 2, episode 20, Over the Rainbow.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
We're in on, baby.
Yeah, kind of like what I was talking about earlier.
Oh, my God. You just like prophesize the whole fucking show.
Sometimes I'm a little psychic.
Oh, my God. So that will be next week.
Great.
And you know what? Setting. If people listen next week on the day it's released, it'll be New Year's fucking day. Yeah. So
we're recording a little bit early.
We are. Yeah. It's an FYI. If you want to send in your feedback, do it before Saturday because we got to record early because of the holiday, baby. I don't know why I did that, but here we are. Anyway, that's it. That's everything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anything else? I don't think so.
No.
Okay. That's the whole thing. So we'll be back next week with some more Buffy, with some more Cordy's Corner. We hope you enjoyed. We hope you had a safe and lovely holiday and enjoy the new year. And we'll kick things off in 2026 next week. And until then, everyone, here endeth the lesson.
Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.